Well, today's the day that Punxsutawney Phil, Pox on you, Phil, is going to climb out of his hole, and we'll know if it's going to be an early spring or not. My life is dependent on a mole. That's okay. Let's see what the little weasel does. Huh?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Let's see what that little piece of vermin says.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Well, let's see what that delusional rodent has to say. It's usually what I say about Trump before he makes a speech. Same difference. Yes. You've got all these meteorologists going to school and taking up meteorology and you know, just knowing exactly the weather patterns and forecasting. And then you've got this little mouse that comes out, this little weasel, to take a crap. And if it sees its shadow, for some reason, that's a weather prediction. I don't know if you understand this, but this is all based on whether this little animal sees its shadow or not. First of all, the little animal doesn't care whether it sees its shadow or not. I know when I'm walking down the street for an afternoon walk, which I take with my strolling umbrella, I don't look to see if there's a shadow there or not to see how long the rest of the day is going to be. It's just so stupid. This is one of the stupidest things that human beings do. This is like throwing salt over your shoulder. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. And everybody who gathers around the Punxsutawney Phil thing and does the ground hunt thing, they all know it's stupid. They all know it's stupid. They pretty much look at each other and say, aren't we about the stupidest people in the world? Yeah, you are. All right, here's the press release. After record-breaking freezing temperatures across North America and an unusually powerful winter storm known as Bomb Cyclone, one critter's annual weather prediction might be the last hope for those itching for an early spring. Oh, God. Thousands of revelers on Friday are expected to gather in the town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which is about 80 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, to witness a groundhog named Phil. He makes his annual prediction on how long the North American winter will last. Spectators at Gobbler's Knob. Does it matter? Does it matter if I said notch or knob? I guess if you live there, it matters. Spectators at Gobbler's Knob. That sounds like a bad sexual thing. Yeah. You have a fetish? Yeah. I like to gobble knobs. Wow. Spectators at Gobbler's Knob can expect cloudy skies with cold temperatures near 17 degrees, according to National Weather Service. But the clouds should clear by the time Phil appears shortly after sunrise. I assume, National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovic, says, I assume that we're going to see a shadow in the morning. According to legend, if the rodent emerges from his dwelling and sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter should be expected. But if Phil doesn't see his shadow, in other words, if it's cloudy outside, spring is in for an early arrival. Now, an early arrival, I don't know what that means. They never say what an early arrival is. It could be like one day before the 6 weeks is up. I really have no idea. Anyway, you're going to have to wait till the end of the show to find out if we're going to have an early spring or not. Because at the time of recording this weekend program here, this Friday weekend program, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and Phil has not made his appearance just yet. He's in makeup. So by the end of this show, we'll know exactly what's going to happen, as if you actually believed it. I guess it's fun to actually believe things. I think that's what the Trump presidency taught me. It's kind of fun and creative to make up your own stuff. It's fun and creative to believe in things that don't exist and to make them seem true. I guess that's the whole idea of the whole thing. I really don't know. Boy, is Trump scrambling, man. He is scrambling. He is nervous about everything falling out from under him. Wow. I don't know how many Russian prostitutes he peed on, but it must have been a lot. Special investigator Robert Mueller is trying to set up an interview with the President Donald Trump, in which case it will be under oath, and Trump will have to, anything he says that's a lie or gets proven to be inaccurate is actually a criminal offense. That's perjury. That's how they get people, and perjury. If anybody could perjure themselves, the number one candidate has got to be Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, I think eventually if you look in the dictionary and look up perjury, the entire page will have his picture on it. He'll make sure of that. And I think he's nervous. And the fact that he constantly omits Russia from any type of conversation other than admiring a dictator, they got something over on him. Either it's this prostitute thing, which is really these days not a big deal. Who doesn't pee on a prostitute? I believe that's what Trump believes. No, I think my belief, as I've said on the show, Trump has laundered his money through his business and personal monies through Russia, and they've sanctioned it through Russian banks, and I believe that's exactly what happened, which is definitely treasonous jail time kind of crap. And his entire administration would go down with him because they helped him cover things up. As a matter of fact, 2 of his people have already been indicted and are cooperating with the Mueller investigation. And what Mueller probably knows that we don't know is probably incredibly horrific for Trump. He knows that. He feels the heat. So he got his people, because everybody who works with him must be loyal and sign the papers accordingly. He's going after the Justice Department. He's going after the FBI. He's trying to discredit the source. When the source starts naming Trump as a criminal, and the allegations start flying and start to be being proved by other people, Trump will go down. The only way that he feels he can't go down is if he discredits the person that's trying to take him down. It's so obvious it's not funny. I don't think you have to be Republican or a Democrat to understand that this Trump guy is protecting himself, and now he's lashing out at the FBI Department of Justice in order to create a diversion so that when the truth does come out, Trump will say, don't believe that truth. Believe my truth. Don't believe their truth. Same way he does with the media. The media is the enemy of the people. If the media is saying horrible things about Trump, which are basically true in my estimation, they're saying horrible things about Trump. So what does Trump do? He discredits the media. He says the media is the enemy of the people. This is exactly what Trump does. If someone tries to stop him, like a Democrat makes a bad statement about Trump, he will malign the Democrat. This is what happens. This is the way he does business. If you can't see that, I don't know what you're not looking at. So Trump is definitely guilty of something that he knows he's going to be brought down. And he knows that if they didn't have evidence to bring him down, that he wouldn't be going down. He knows they have evidence to bring him down. So he's got to very, very quickly discredit the FBI and the Department of Justice. Quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't even politics. This is a man, quote unquote, who is just out to make a legacy for himself or to save his ass. He didn't give a crap about you, nor any party whatsoever. I'm not in government at all, but I kind of figure this, and I don't know if this would work or not, because I don't know. If you had an equal number of Democrats in Congress and an equal number of Republicans, wouldn't that force them both to work together all the time? Wouldn't the entire country be represented all the time equally? The president can be a Republican or Democrat, I suppose. Whatever. It really shouldn't matter. It should be a guy who's trying to do the best for his country or her country, whatever. But the Congress should, I think, remain like always split down the middle so that they can negotiate and work things out from both ends. We believe this. Well, that makes sense. But we believe this. Well, that makes sense. And then you meet in the middle. But this thing where we vote into Congress like almost all Republicans, no Democrats, or all Democrats and no Republicans, the country is like a yo-yo. We go back and forth with these kind of mindsets. Let's stable this sucker out. Let's learn. Let's learn this time around, if there's anything left to learn. And let's learn. Let's come up with something that makes more sense. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ron, would you ever run for a seat? Look, no. Why? Do you not care about your country? Oh, I care. That's why I'm not running. Okay. Coming up later in the show, believe it or not, Dr. Pepper will be here. Do you remember Dr. Pepper? It used to be a soft drink. Kind of reminded me of a cross between Coca-Cola and prune juice. Or Pepsi and prune juice. See, that's the same political thing. Pepsi or Coke. Like, there was a battle going on. I'm sick of battles. I am so sick of battles. Battles create wars. When you're on a rampage to take out the other side, everybody's going to suffer. And that's what's happening. The Republicans are out to take out the Democrats. The Democrats are out to take out the Republicans. Trump is out to take out everybody that doesn't agree with him, which, by the way, is, I thought, the reason that we left England. I thought we wanted to get away from this king kind of stuff. But apparently, not necessarily. Donald Trump thinks that Putin is wonderful. He's a great leader. You know why he's a great leader? Because he won't let anybody else win. He arrests people that go against him, actually arrests them, in some cases actually kills them. And you can see Trump's eyes lighting up. Wow, that doesn't sound so bad. Yeah, right. So Dr. Pepper is going to join us. She is, we're going to talk about relationships over 40 years old. Not relationships that you've had for 40 years, but when you're over 40 years old, what do you do for a relationship if you get to be single again? Relationships are such a grass is greener thing, so much. So it's the definition of the grass is greener on the other side. If you're married or you have a relationship commitment and you see other people single having a great time dating whoever they want, just like they seem really happy, that's the greener grass on the other side. But we don't know, what you don't realize is that the people who are single sit there and watch you walking down the road hand in hand with somebody else, thinking, wow, that's a stable life. Look how they they share everything together. What a wonderful existence that must be. They think the grass is greener on that side. These two sides think that each other's grass is greener. And the truth is, both sides have no grass. There's weeds in both yards. The other way to look at it is both sides have green grass. But no, that's not the way I feel right now. Okay, Dr. Pepper is going to join us. She's something. She's been on the television shows and all that stuff. She's an expert on relationships, as I obviously seem to be. Dr. Pepper, I don't remember that song.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I'm part of an original crowd. And if you look around these days, there seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. If you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper too. Be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper. Be a pepper.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, beautiful day here.
Oh, it's kind of cloudy here, but that's okay. Dr. Pepper Schwartz joins us. She's a PhD, AARP Love and Relationship Ambassador. You've seen her on TV on one of my favorite, strangest television shows, by the way, Married at First Sight. It's interesting. It's interesting. I do like tons of interviews. We don't talk about relationships very much and how to make them successful and popular and how to sustain them. So this is oddly enough something I'm really interested in. And I know we're talking about dating over 40, but this is good for every age. We go to the doctor to check our bodies physically. This is like checking your love life physically.
Well, exactly. You know, we know that to be responsible, we go to the doctor, go to our dentist, we make sure there's a checkup, but somehow we expect our relationships to run on automatic pilot,
right.
And they don't. They need to be taken care of.
So what can I do? I mean, I think I'm being nice, but I think maybe I should be going further. What are some of the checkups that I should be doing here?
Well, first of all, I think you say, are you in a rut? Do you have to change up things? Most
Always.
Couples get on automatic pilot.
Always.
So what are the things you can do to change? Well, first of all, you know, get off your phone, get off your iPad, you know, figure out how to disconnect from all the distractions you have so that you, you know, just don't put all your energy in your kids or your pets and you put it in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, talk about it. You know, talk about what would be fun, what have you wanted to do that you haven't done. And schedule something for romance. Take a getaway or even an afternoon just to say we're gonna do something fun that we haven't done before, because really novelty is what long-term relationships need. And of course they're always fun for dating relationships, but you know, to just surprise each other in a way. And the other thing I found is that there's really a lot of data, including in a study I did, that shows that the longer people are together, the more they lose all the affectionate behaviors they did.
Mm-hmm.
They hold hands less, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down from about 85% when you meet to but less than 50% 10 years later. So holding hands is a very powerful thing, that connection. Lots of touching and kissing and seeing if you really are getting what you need. And do something fun, like kissing differently twice a day, making sure you greet each other and hello and goodbye in the day. I think any and all of these things recommit and revivify your connection to one another.
Yeah. And I guess both male and female, or whatever the partners may be, you need this throughout your life. You need this kind of support and this kind of show of affection, I guess.
You really do. And I think sometimes one of the reasons that kind of show of affection starts to decrease is that, you know, there's all these physical, emotional, and mental changes over time, and there's simple solutions to it. It's not just that, you know, everything has to disappear as you get older, but, you know, sometimes you really have to face the facts. I mean, there was a American Medical Association figure of somewhere between 41-43% of women, for example, suffer from sexual dysfunction.
Yes.
Whether they're dating in a long-term relationship,
yes.
Because look at, you know, after pregnancy and postpartum and after, you know, menopause and sometimes with cancer diagnosis and the drugs and things you take for that, you really need to do some physical changes for yourself, you know, that compensate with that, or they're going to kind of take you down in a way that ruins the intimacy with couples. I know sometimes people don't think of it in terms of products, but I'm a big fan of using products to help you if you feel like, you know, you have things like, you know, for women, they're dry, their intimacy is painful.
Sure.
There's lots of these things that get in the way. And so, you know, for me, I like this Replenz brand that restores external comfort with adding moisture to, you know, all the things that happen when you do your daily activities, that sitting, walking, hiking, biking, all that stuff, you know, you need to take care of yourself and be ready so that everything feels good and there's no pain, which is one of those things that have been discovered is very common in older women and unfortunately even in younger women too.
Yeah, I mean, we take pain reliever for headaches. Why not take care of the other things in the same manner? Why not? That makes sense.
You know, sometimes women and their partners don't actually realize these products are available.
Yeah, that's true.
But they are, and, you know, go in, you know, sometimes you just ask your physician, or in this case, these aren't prescription. You can go into, you know, any drugstore, et cetera, and say, okay, what do I need to be comfortable because my body isn't the same as it was.
Yeah. Doctors, is there some amount of denial on the parts of aging people who are in relationships where, no, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm just as viable as I've ever been. I'm not going to admit that age is getting to me or something like that.
You know, I think that's extremely true. Okay, we think that, you know, I am just as good as I've ever been, but and I'm just going to ignore this pain. You know, in fact, one of the things that really upset me is I saw a study that said approximately 1/3 of women think that pain is inevitable during sex.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. And so, of course, if you don't use some kind of external gel that will get rid of the irritation and chafing, that's the minor part of it. But, you know, there are things inside and out that will make a woman, you know, keep the moisture in her body. And denying it is going to cause pain. So, you know, I think good partners like yourself can say, hey, if this isn't comfortable, let's see what we can do about it.
Yeah. But partners still don't discuss those problems or those concerns either. They might take care of it themselves secretively, but it's still so embarrassing even to your partner sometimes, and I don't know why that is.
I think that there's these women things and these men things that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
And then if we say something, our partner is going to, you know, feel differently about it. But I really think that there's nothing more intimacy producing than communication. Saying what you're really feeling, saying what, you know, if it feels good or not. Suffering in silence is just not going to help your relationship be more intimate, and you're going to start being averse. You know, men have these issues too. As they age, their bodies are not going to be as ready as they were, and there's lots of things they can do as well. And talking about it, being a team on these things, you end up being really much more intimate. So instead of being afraid of saying what you're thinking and feeling, if you do, it's another bond you're creating.
That's true. It's not you against the world. It's you and your partner against the world.
Yeah, exactly. There's a problem, and you and I are the team, and we're going to solve it.
There you go. Hey, I feel better about this already, even though I didn't say anything. Okay, where do I go for more information?
Well, you know, if you're interested in some of these lubrication products that restore moisture, go to replenz.com. I think they really talk about it a lot, and you can figure out what's right for you. And then, of course, any search on the web is a good, useful tool as well. But I think just beginning and saying, okay, I want to find the spark again. I want us to be, you know, intimate and youthful and connected. That's the beginning, and then you can go to these places and get more information to help you do it.
Great. Well, Dr. Pepper Schwartz, thank you so much for your time today, and continue the good work to make us more honest and transparent. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, we hope you will enjoy the show. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, sit back and let the evening go. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
right there. There, I got it. I got it.
All right, they're looking at Punxsutawney Phil here. We're doing this live. We're in the Philadelphia Punxsutawney place. They're about to announce the finding of the gray hog.
Hear ye, hear ye. Now this second day of February, 2018, the 132nd annual trek of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of all prognosticators, was awakened at sunrise from his burrow by the cheers of his thousands of faithful followers. In groundhog ease, he directed the president of the inner circle to his prognostication scroll, which reads, "Up early this morning, far from home, are you searching for the philosopher's stone? Well, even my best friends, they don't know. Is it an early spring or just more snow?" My faithful followers, your hands and my paws are getting cold. So here is my forecast, not lead, but solid gold. I see my royal shadow, 6 more weeks of winter to go. Dilly, dilly. Dilly, dilly.
Hello, Dilly Dilly. Is it like a cult following or something? Well, it's going to be a normal long winter, unfortunately. And that is the prediction of the gerbil. So, that sucks. But we don't believe that stuff anyway, so what difference does it make? Am I correct? Yeah, I don't believe in that stuff. Neither do you. We're intelligent thinking people. Although, had the little vermin said it was going to be a short winter and an early spring, I would have found that to be gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.